The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hello, I'm Umar Paganampake Pagan, alongside Ian McNally and Bahir Yusuf. We're going to review Flatliners today, which is Niels Arden Oplev's remake of the Joel Schumacher film of the same name. The classic version starred Kiefer Sutherland, Julia Roberts, Kevin Bacon, Oliver Platt. What a great lineup.
And William Baldwin.
Lest we forget.
Billy Baldwin.
The less famous Baldwin brother.
Well, there are quite a few less famous
Baldwin brothers.
Let's be perfectly honest.
The original wasn't a great movie to begin with.
No, it's not a classic, but it's kind of nicely remembered for Billy Mahoney.
That's right. And I think that's about all. And maybe their hairstyles. It had a very late 80s, early 90s vibe to it with their big hair.
It was also before they were famous, the movie.
Correct.
Like Kiefer Sutherland was mostly famous.
Right.
Julia Roberts was on the way up. Oliver Platt hadn't really ascended the heights that he later became. Mm. And the same with the Baldwins. I mean, it was just, you would never be able to put those five actors together again now.
Right. No, probably not. You couldn't afford it, right?
Right.
Except maybe William Baldwin. Why would you remake that movie is the first question I had walking into it. And then after watching the film, my sentiment was, Why would you remake this movie? Yeah, but if you were going to remake this movie, then at least do something with it. Mm. Because the concept is really cool. Yeah.
There's something around when you die and if you don't and you come back and it's not all glowy light and happiness.
I'm pretty sure I didn't see the original. Mm. But coming out of this one, I was confused. Is it a supernatural thing? Is it a psychological thing?
It didn't know what it wanted to be.
It's
in the plot. They kind of vaguely mentioned that it's some kind of demonic presence. Once they realize that the things that are haunting them from their past, like you can't get haunted by somebody who's still alive. And some of the visions that haunt them are people who are still alive. So it doesn't make a choice in that area.
Yes.
And it doesn't make a choice in a lot of areas.
It doesn't make a choice on anything.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, for those of you who don't know, the plot is relatively simple. A bunch of medical students get together to do a kind of experiment involving death. They want to find out what happens in the afterlife. Why is it all these people see white lights, etc., etc.?
A tunnel floating from your body.
Correct. So they kill themselves essentially for minutes at a time and then bring themselves back to life, tracking brain activity and sharing the experiences of what happens when they're essentially dead. Of course, all is not well. What initially starts off as, I guess, a feel-good feeling when they come back to life is, you know, quickly taken over by this sense of dread. And in this case, even physical manifestations of what you initially think is a psychological issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this movie can't figure out whether it wants to be a horror flick, whether it wants to be a psychological thriller, whether it wants to be a science thriller. It doesn't know what it's doing.
It doesn't even know whether it wants to be a reboot or a remake or a recontinuation, because it puts Kiefer Sutherland in it from the original movie, but doesn't have him playing the original character.
No,
like,
which
is
crazy.
That is a huge opportunity there, and they just squandered it.
After the film, me and Uma were talking about how they could have taken this in a different direction, right? Mm. A continuation would have been interesting. A complete reboot with none of the characters just seems a little sort of the weaker element to take. And also it was this the question of why this film, other than the fact that it was potentially maybe sort of kind of an IP that people recognize.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
But that's the thing.
Even but it's even not then, right?
Yeah. Well, the most memorable thing, if you said you don't remember the first one, the most memorable thing to me always from the first one has been Kiefer Sutherland freaking out because he's being chased by the ghost, essentially, of a kid that he used to tease as a child.
Right.
Who chases him around and beats him half to death with a hockey stick.
Okay.
And this kid is played by Joshua Rudoy. He was in Harry and the Hendersons. He was like 80s kid for a while and he disappeared.
Right.
He's terrifying. And just like Kiefer Sutherland, this becomes a quivering mess of bruises and plasters. And at one point, I think Adam Baldwin sees him beating himself up.
Yes,
but
he's
what he
beating
sees,
himself up.
So that movie makes a choice. It's like your
it's
brain.
It's a psychological
it's a
thing.
Psychological
right.
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one, you think, is going along that direction until certain things happen.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, no, is there a demonic presence? I mean, who's stabbing people?
Like the visions aren't that spooky.
Yeah,
and like it does try to raise the stakes from the original. The original, you know, it's very safe. This isn't quite so safe, shall we say?
Mm.
And I thought that's a great way of raising the stakes.
Mm.
It does nothing with it. It also started getting annoying me at one point. I think Nina Dobrev's character says, like, we need to talk about something. And they instantly go looking for a phone. It's like, no. You need to probably talk about what's going on right here, you know? That's the point where it's like, oh, okay, you don't care about this movie, so why should I care about this movie?
Right, yeah.
And there are also, it's just a mixed bag of movie production as well. On the horror side, everything feels like it's 2 seconds too late. So none of the timing for the jump scares work because you see it coming and you're expecting it and then nothing happens and then it happens and you're like, no, what? And that's what happened with almost every single jump scare.
Yeah.
The production value kind of fluctuates between film and television. There's a scene where they all pile into the car and they're driving quickly away from the hospital. And I'm like, was this shot on GoPros? It looks really cheap.
Yeah.
Also, a Mini, you know, times have changed. A Mini is now a car you can fit 5 people into.
Yeah. That was my first thought. Oh, look at 5 people jump into a Mini.
Yeah, Minis have gotten big, man.
Yeah.
And then everything just feels a little tired. I mean, even...
Like Diego Luna's hair. It looks very tired.
It does look very tired.
What was going on with that hair?
That was weird.
Why is Ellen Page in this movie? She is tremendous in everything. Why is she in this
and
movie?
And even even in this movie, she is very good.
I do like Ellen Page.
I like Ellen Page's character.
Yeah.
But you go like, did you not read the script?
Yeah.
There was, you know, I don't know what they told you, but this is not a good movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
They do reuse all of the sets from Grey's Anatomy.
Was that it?
Clearly. Yeah, I mean, ever seen an episode of Grey's Anatomy, that bridge that they keep running across, there are a lot of deep, meaningful conversations that take place on
that
bridge. Yes, the sky bridge.
Yes.
Even the outside exterior shots of the hospital. Yeah, lots of little conversations have happened there at night in the rain because of Grey's Anatomy. And that's Seattle Grace, I think. So that's set in Seattle.
Yeah.
But I don't know where this is set. I think the original was in Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure, it's somewhere where you can get hail, but like you never need to bundle up because the cast don't want to wear jackets because they're shooting in summertime.
Yeah,
this is just a bit of a nothing film. I mean, even the tropes, even the stories about these individuals and their backstories that supposedly come back and haunt them, even those stories are so cliched and old and boring.
It's not even cliched, old and boring. It's just like, really, that's... Sure, apart from a few of them, you go like, really, this is kind of what's haunting you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it might have been better if they cut down the number of main cast. Mm. Like, Kiersey Clemons character, she gets to do nothing, and like, she has no... The benefit, supposedly, of flatlining is that, like, you know, Ellen Page gets better memory and Jamie gets better intuition.
Mm.
You don't really see the rest of them because there's not enough time.
No, but
it's kind of pointless. Like, her character is completely kind of, unfortunately, it's the Hollywood trope. She's just the black girl in it for just diversity's sake. She's not actually getting anything
doing
happening.
Anything. Yeah. And it's that thing of, like, you establish, and they spend a lot of time with Ellen Page's character and with, what's his name, the guy?
Jamie.
Yeah, with his character, but how they've achieved now a different kind of enlightenment or whatever, blah,
which
blah,
mostly
blah, blah.
Means playing in hail and getting drunk, which they were doing anyway.
Yeah, let's be honest. They're medical students.
Yeah.
But then it sort of sets that up and you assume now everybody's going to do it and they're all going to achieve that, but they just never really spend the time on any of it. So why even bring it up?
Because there's two characters too many. They need like 3 max.
So they don't even go down the superhero route.
No. Well, unless Kent was it, cooking 6 loaves of bread in a night is a superhero skill?
Maybe. It's a kind of superhero skill. Mm. Yeah, baking is hard, man.
Looks like good bread.
If you're going to make this movie in 2017, at least tell me something that the last movie didn't.
Yeah, I think when we were talking about Happy Death Day and some other movies... Kiefer Sutherland's character says it here at this hospital. We're trying to move the dial on human knowledge, and this is like we're trying to trick you into paying for a movie you've already seen before, and without adding anything new to the genre or anything like that.
We're trying to trick you to coming to watch a movie that you've heard about from 20, 30 years ago, whatever the number is, that people have said may or may not have been cool, but you just know the name, so this is what it's going to be.
So it's this weird stool where it's not a brand name that they can capitalize on, and it's also not a misused IP that they build upon. It's just like vomited out onto the world and just kind of you're stuck with it.
Yeah.
It also feels like it went through so many edits and cuts and test screenings possibly, because even at the very end of the film, suddenly there's a narrative VO that kicks in from Dina Dobrev's character, and there's been no real VO throughout the whole film, and it just feels like someone saw it and went, actually, we don't know what this character is saying or doing, so just throw in a VO, it'll help the audience
out.
Why
are we ending the film with Dina Dobrev's character? Why are we ending it with her? Throughout the entire movie, she was never a pivotal character.
So let's go back to Diego Luna.
Yeah.
He's more interesting.
He's far more interesting.
Not only that, but...
And
like
not just because of his lank hair.
But also, if you followed him, it's an interesting aspect because he's the one guy that didn't go with it, right? Yep. So he's got the outside perspective,
exactly.
Possibly. So why are we suddenly... Why is it suddenly Nina Dobrev's character story?
Because we have to wrap up and we're out of time.
We need to wrap up.
She's pretty.
She's got a following because of that TV show she once did.
She was funny in XXX.
There you go. That's it. Job done.
This is why you have 5% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's right. Don't bother with flatliners, folks. You know how we always tell you, go see this movie. Let us know what you think.
Watch
this
the original.
Is just boring.
Let Billy Mahoney haunt your nightmares forever.
At
He's so much better.
That,
Billy Mahoney
on
his own.
At least it has that one scene.
Yeah.
There weren't even any nice, pretty, shocking set pieces in this one.
Yeah.
You know what, though? There are a few pretty... No, I wouldn't say pretty, but there are a few shocking moments. But you've seen them in the trailer.
Yeah.
It's true.
You know? Yeah. Like, anything that wasn't in the trailer, like, in terms of scare, you just go like, that was all right. I now know why they kept it out of the trailer.
I mean, there was a nice visual touch to the visions, I think, in the original. If I remember correctly, like... There's a thing in Kiefer Sutherland's with a tree, and it's all very, you know, abstract and weird looking. Mm. And with Julia Roberts' father, it's all shot in yellow, if I remember.
Right.
It's all this bathroom stuff going on there. But they're like, you know, something otherworldly is going on here. And this is like, oh, it's a car parked outside a rave.
Yay. Flatliners is now in cinemas. If you did happen to catch it over the Deepavali break, let us know. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahi White.
This is At The Movies on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.